It was nigh on 7 o'clock when Miss Porter appeared at Eleanor's door and informed her that the evening meal was near ready to be served. Miss Porter laid out a dress for her on the dressing table beside her bed and bid her to please hasten and change, as those of the kitchen staff with families of their own were rather anxious to repair to their homes for Christmas Eve. However, when the bell was rung some 15 minutes later, Eleanor had not yet dressed for dinner. A very selfish, ugly thought had occurred to her after Miss Porter had left, and Eleanor had acted upon it through her very inaction. She felt it would quite smartly serve the household staff, and especially Auntie Rigelia, to be forced to wait on her pleasure. After all, they had cooped her up in this little room and not let her do as she wished. The clock upon the mantelpiece struck the half hour past 8. Before she made her leisurely way from her chamber, down the arching staircase, and into the dining hall, where she expected a dozen or so anxious adults to be fretting. Instead, she found an empty room. The dining table, which was the largest she had ever set eyes on, faded into the shadows on one end. On the other, a small trio of candlesticks cast a flickering light on a solitary place setting. The silver chaser bore a wondrous thick slice of roast beef, now cold, some greens, also cold, and a small bowl of watercress soup, positively frigid. There was also a small basket of brown bread and a goblet of mulled wine. Eleanor took one look at the pitiful sight, her hopes of retribution miserably dashed, and burst into tears. Eventually, though, her self-pity was sufficiently satiated to allow her empty stomach to have a say. A cold dinner is better than no dinner at all, and there was plenty of heat in her appetite. She had inhaled the soup, gobbled up all but a morsel of the roast beef, munched the brown bread, and even nibbled at the greens when Aunt Rigelia quietly entered the room. "Ah, my dear, you have finally consented to join us, it seems. Your appetite got the better of your temper, I imagine."
"My dinner's cold."
"To be expected, when one comes late to table. I hope you were not expecting an entire household to wait upon one little girl who misplaced her manners." Eleanor stabbed at her plate viciously, as though hoping to work a vengeance on the last fragment of cold roast. "Although I have already had my supper, I would still like to have a chat with you. Perhaps you are wondering why an old lady such as I, without husband or children, needs such a dining room. We have a big table at home ourselves, and I have my breakfast at it, all by myself." "Tut, it seems a shame to breakfast or have any meal by oneself. Wouldn't you much rather share a meal with your mother and father, or with other children?"
"I don't like children. They act childish."
"Well, that is to be expected, I suppose. Still, more's the pity, as we shall have a child in every chair for Christmas dinner tomorrow afternoon. I'm afraid you will find it quite unbearable."
"What children?"
"They are orphans, my dear, and each and every Christmas, wherever I am, they join me for supper."
"It must be a horrid expense."
"Oh, they pay me, and quite amply."
"I should have guessed as much.
They pay me with their smiles and laughter, with the joy and thankfulness in their eyes." Eleanor thought that a rotten bargain altogether. "Come, I've a gift for you, and this one you may open right away." Eleanor's face brightened. Perhaps things were not as bleak as they seemed.